call is now being recorded.
Welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I'm the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademark podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Today I have award-winning author Julianne Long on the show. And I'm going to read a little statement from her that kind of gives you her bio, but it's much better coming from her words. So here we go. The whole point in learning how to write was so I could make up my own stories. Well, so that I could pass love notes back and forth to Timmy C. in first grade. My first, and it says self-published book, was a Crayola Illustrated staple-bound story about a talking rabbit. My first book featuring talking people was published in 2004, The Runaway Duke, a Regency-era set historical romance, nominated for a Romance Writers of America Rita Award. In between, I did a stint in the corporate world and played guitar in San Francisco bands, but when I realized I could incorporate my lust for research, not to mention men with unruly hair, into writing, I never looked back. My acclaimed Penny Royal Green series of historical romances follows the triumphs, tribulations, passions, and the feuding for centuries aristocratic Eversea and Redmond families of Penny Royal Green, Sussex, England. In particular, the star-crossed love of, of disappearing heir Lyon Redmond and Olivia Eversea. It's been a big year for me so far. In July, I won a Romance Writers of America Rita Award for the Penny Royal Green series book, It Started with a Scandal. And in June, I launched a new contemporary romance series set in California's Sierra Nevada foothills, Gold Country, with Hot and Hellcat Canyon, named by Amazon.com as the best romance of 2016 so far. The only thing hotter than the summers there are the heroes and the stories of the relationships between the townspeople of families featured as many twists, turns, and peaks and valleys as the scenery. Come to Hellcat Canyon, prepared to laugh, cry, and hopefully cheer. And you can learn more about Julianne Long on her website, which is simply www.julianlong.com. And let's welcome her to the show right now. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. Delighted to be here.
It's so funny. We finally worked it out.
I know. We've been pen pals for a while about this show.
Well, me and my weird schedule, but yeah. Okay, we'll get on to the show. So your Penny Royal Green took the world by storm, bringing back historical Regency romances that had kind of fallen off the favorite reading list of people lately or previous to that. I think that it was part of the reason why people have dived back into the Regency era kind of historicals lately. So congratulations on your Rita for that. That's really awesome.
Oh, thank you. It was really one of the better moments of my entire life, I have to tell you that.
I was talking to Maisie Yates a few weeks ago, who won the Contemporary Rita, and we were talking about what an awesome thing it is, the Rita Award ceremony, and how it's just like it's the Grammys for authors. And what an awesome thing, an awesome tribute, because, I mean, really, you put more of your heart and soul into writing that book and creating those characters and weaving a wonderful story than, you know, people get up and put, well, you know, you play the guitar, you understand.
Exactly.
I mean, after a time that can kind of become rote, but writing is never, just muscle memory. It requires so much out of you. So I love it. I love that RWA does that. That honors authors like that. It's great. I think there should be like all genre, offerings like that.
Rita ceremonies? Is that what you're saying? Award ceremonies for all genres? Or
yes. I mean, I know they have them. I mean,
I really do think that it's just one way of rewarding and acknowledging our survival year after year, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears we do put into us, you know. And it, even though they may or may not be super sellers, but there are some books out there that just don't get noticed until these kinds of ceremonies take place, you know. So it really is a celebration among the romance community and an excuse to buy a really great dress when you live in yoga pants for the whole entire year. It's kind of like dressing is like going from 0 to 60 because my wardrobe is yoga pants or evening gowns. You know, that is it.
Yeah.
These days there's really no in between.
Well, yeah, and that's the writer's life there for you.
It is. If you saw what I was wearing now, it's quite, you know, shameless. So,
or shameful. Well, I'm a stay-at-home mom.
What?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I totally understand.
So
if
you
I don't
get
have
it.
To get out of my pajamas. Yeah, but I get my pajamas, and if I don't have to put a bra on, it is like a
yeah, exactly.
Great,
I do
get
1,000 words. Put on a bra for the pizza boy, and then wrote another 1,000 words. That was it. It was a good day's work.
Yeah, there you go. That's hard. That's hard to do. So you have always been a writer. It's been you've always had a passion for story. You know, you talked about how you wrote your first book, your first book about the rabbit, and fully illustrated it yourself. So, at what point did you decide? I think writing is what I need to do for my life. I mean, you said you did a corporate stint.
I always knew. You know, it's funny. It's because the thing is, I think that we all take for granted things that come fairly easily to us. And we mm-hmm. think we have to work harder for something. And so it was something that was easy and fun for me. And in a way, I almost discounted it because of that. You know, and so.
Yeah.
And I got sucked into, you know, I was so in love with music that I wanted to be music practically. And so the next best thing to that was, you know, learning how to play it. But even that was writing. You know, you were writing songs and you were emoting and it was just sort of an adjunct to that. And, I think that I just got steered in that direction when there was a point in my life where it was the first .com wave and then, you know, it was like, phew, tons of work. And all of a sudden there was no work. And, because when the bubble. And so I was working part time and I had, you know, I was broke and my friends and, you know, I wasn't playing in bands regularly. I'm like, okay, so now is the time to sit down and focus and write that book. It was, you know, it really was all the conditions were in place for me to finally do that. So that's kind of what happened.
So the stars all lined up for you.
Yep. Apparently the timing was just there. So. And then after a while, I mean, just playing in clubs, you know, gets old, playing at midnight and, you know, in skanky clubs. And it's just, I'm not made for that kind of life. But I'm not rugged enough for sleeping on floors or traveling in vans with smelly boys. You know, it's just, you have to love that part of it, too. And I don't.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's great story fodder and all, but.
Exactly.
probably make you old before your day, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, learning about yourself is process of elimination. I'm like, yep, nope, I don't want to sleep on a stranger's sofa just so I can play a gig in this town 4 hours away. You know? No,
right.
Not for me.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But you had some good experiences there. I mean, you had some character building experiences there, learning how the inside of all of that works. So you can't discount that. That's all I was saying.
No, you know, you learn endurance. I pay attention to musicality in books because, you know, every story, not even every story and every sentence in every story has a rhythm and a structure to it, you know, so it all
plays
into it.
What are some that kind of, what's a book that stands out to you as being lyrical, like having that kind of cadence to it?
Anybody who has their own voice, who has a really fresh voice. Let's see, what have I read?
just like really recently that I loved. I loved Jeff Walter's Beautiful Ruins. I loved his voice. It's just, it's gorgeous, but not intrusively so. I mean, you don't, because sometimes the language can be so impressive that you don't feel in part of the story. You feel like you're standing back admiring the language. So it was, it was witty and moving and interesting and human. I just loved it. But, Kate Atkins is another writer who has that kind of voice where it's, the writing is fantastic, but in her view of the world is just fun, and you just want to be in that world. There's so many. We're very fortunate that way.
Yeah. No, you can never have enough of those either. So I love to read a book that has that, you know, you realign and you go, wow, and you go back and read it again, and you're like, read it again, because it's just, you know, it read so, I don't know if it's the smoothly or if it's the, like you said, the rhythm of it, or it's just kind of gives you chills because it's so well said, you know. I love that part of the book.
And it's funny. It's not even so much about the words. It's about what the words are conveying. And maybe they're saying something that's really profound in a fresh way, and that's what stops you in your tracks, you know. Because I think writers sometimes get caught up in the lyricism, and what you need to do is more, it's more about having something to say. Because the lyricism means nothing unless there's emotion and meaning behind it, you know.
Totally agree. It can sound pretty all day, but it doesn't say, if it doesn't tell a story, the right kind of story, or portray the right emotion, then it doesn't matter. But maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's why music is so, I don't know, it's almost innate in a lot of us, because it's so close to the soul, you know. Everything has a rhythm. You know, music comes naturally to a lot of people.
Exactly. Music, I think you're right. I think it's something that gets kind of bypasses the thought, you know, your mind is super busy, it kind of gets right into, like you said, your heart and your soul.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
It sometimes expresses something for you that you don't know how to express yourself.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's why, you know, a guy can say, this is our song, but they can't tell you how they really feel. That's my opinion. But yeah. So when you decided to write the book, sit down and get serious, because and why did you pick historical?
I always read historical. I think the first romance novels I read, my sister and I snuck them out of my mom's nightstand drawer. Because, you know, the guys with the billowing hair, and the guys with the billowing thighs, you know. And Rosemary Rogers' books. And they were just fascinating, not only for the length, you know, because I had no idea what a throbbing manhood was, but the storytelling was really just engaging, very mature. And because stories are so... I mean, we read for the pleasurable escape, for one thing, and I think that historicals add just another level of sort of transcending time and place, you know? So they're very immersive that way. So I think that's probably why my first attempt at romance was a historical. The first ones I loved were historicals.
Is the Regency era, like, your favorite time period, or... Was it just kind of naturally flowed as something to write about?
Well, it was, I know it's a popular genre. I mean, we can thank Jane Austen for that, you know. If she wrote romances about Incas in her voice, I think we'd have Inca romance, you know. She made it. it was just her voice, just made that period so alive, and it just stays alive that way. But a lot of the authors that I loved were writing in that period too, and so I just sort of defaulted to it. And then I also had a certain amount of being a Jane lover. Had a certain amount of knowledge about it already, so it was easy to just sort of start there.
Yeah. Is there other time periods you'd like to write about?
Oh, I love every time period. I mean, I'm interested in history. I love the 20s and the 30s, probably the 30s.
Yeah.
So...
not necessarily World War II prior to that. I think that was a very turbulent, fascinating, developing time in our country. I love that fashion, architecture, and whether or not I write in that era, I read a lot about that era. I love ancient history, too, in some ways. So, yeah, it's just...
That's a lot of, anyone, a lot of things to write about.
Yeah, no, there are too many. So only three at the time. But
and you love research.
I do. I mean, I think that everybody who does this goes down sort of research rabbit hole because it's just really tough. If you're interested in all, you just end up following threads forever. Go on, like, Wikipedia safaris.
Yeah, absolutely. as a librarian, even though I haven't been working as a librarian for the last couple of years, it's just hard it's hard to knock that off, you know. I mean, you just can't stop. Anybody poses a question, I'm going to find the answer as long as it takes me.
And it's part of your nature. It is. It's hard to avoid.
Yeah. No, but... it absolutely is. So if you're a big researcher, if you like to do research because it is fascinating, and some people just have that question mark always there. I've got to find out more. Historical kind of just comes naturally. I'd love to do research for historical authors, but they like to do their own.
I know. It is. Well, that's the fun part because you might come up with a nugget of an idea that you had, you know, that you never would have if you hadn't, you know, followed along a particular thread of research, or you might end up going in another direction, or I don't know. It's just, there's a wealth of ideas out there hiding in research.
So when you started doing your research for your Regency series, did you go visit places, or were you doing mostly, like in the books and doing online research? Have you visited any of the areas? I know a lot of people like to go do that.
It was more online played a role, but there were certain books that I needed to track down that just didn't exist in any other format. Like one of them was a book about gypsies that played a role in a couple of Pennyroyal Green books, and actually my first book, too. So it was tough to find information on gypsies in the English countryside in the Regency period. So I found a couple of rare books and serendipitously in used bookstores in San Francisco. And so it's that kind of thing. But primarily it was just reading, finding the books, libraries. I do end up buying half my research books too because I just want to own them.
that's just a reader thing. Own the book. Yeah. I don't want to borrow it from. I used to order even books for whatever I was researching at the time. I'd go on the library site and, request all the books. I knew they were going to take a week or two to get here, and then I couldn't wait. The next day I ordered them on Amazon, and I was like, oh, damn, I got to stop. What are all these books about witchcraft? So I was like, well, I was just really interested in writing a story about them. And he's like, you can borrow all this from the library. Well, they come in next week. I'll just not pick them up.
I know. I don't know what that is. Is it just... It feels more, real if you're holding the book. Or I'm more used to being able to flip through pages that way than I am on.
Yeah.
And not everything is available on Kindle. Like, some of them are fairly arcane old books, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I've found a lot of things by just digging around and found digital copies here and there. And okay, awesome. All right. Kobo actually had more than Kindle did. So I don't know how they get their hands on some different stuff. But anyway, yeah. If I'm like every other writer, if you see my bookshelf, you're like, why is all this study of human anatomy on your shelf? If you want to kill somebody, right, you've got to know about how to kill them. So anyway. So you were also a big reader, and you said you like to read historicals. Out of all the eras that you read, is Regency still your favorite era to read?
No. Because I think that's probably true of a lot of authors too. I think because it ends up feeling like homework, you know. Because you're just the thing is reading is a one way to both escape and to prime that creative pump, you know. And I feel like I need to be reading something that's wonderful, but also very different from what I'm writing in order to write well. I want to be inspired, and it's kind of like just hearing really good music, you know, but it can't be this. Mm-hmm. And also, like when I was playing in bands, I remember there was a time when I would hear a song on the radio and I wasn't able to hear it in terms of a whole. It would be more of it in terms of its component parts, you know, like, oh, listen to that bass line, or why did they bury the drums? And it gets like that when you read Regency too, you know, where you're not, you're just so aware of the structure of it, and it would have to be something really completely different, take me out of that mindset of just sort of picking apart the story. And so I don't normally, if a friend asks me to do it, to read a book over there, so I might do it, or if someone recommends, but mostly because I know at this point what I need in order to write the best possible book for my readers, I need to be reading something different from what I'm writing.
Yeah. So you read other eras? Do you like other things like romantic suspense or?
Oh yeah, I have very random reading habits. It's just really if someone might recommend something that I would never have otherwise picked up, and then I'll fall in love with it. Which is why I fell in love with like Alexander McCall Smith's all of his books.
Oh yeah,
started reading Ruth Rendell. Is how you pronounce your name, Rendell. She writes. She's a mystery writer. You know Ruth, her right? I don't know why I never read hers before, because she's a magnificent writer, and I love her series, her Inspector Wexford series. Like P.D. James is another one who's just absolutely brilliant writer. So yeah, it just has to be something that pulls me in, and it's usually the voice that pulls me in. It's not the genre per se.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. So you're just a reader. You're the gluttonous reader that reads.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Egalitarian reader. You know, I'll check it out. Whatever it is, I'll check it out.
So you've started a new series. Is this a contemporary? Mm-hmm. And this one's based out of the Sierra Nevada. And so tell us a little bit about the premise of the series without spoilers and all that fun stuff.
Well, it's fun because growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area, pretty much everybody ends up knowing Gold Country, which is in far north, northern California. California is huge. I mean, people don't realize how big the state is, and thousands of miles are pretty much covered in forest. And people just know San Francisco and L.A., right? The in-between part.
Yeah.
Mountains. And it's beautiful. It's spectacularly beautiful. It's just, it's rugged hills, and some areas have small populations. And there are wild rivers, wildlife, great contrast between with great wealth, because people who have vacation property are all mad, and great poverty, because you find that in rural areas. So you have interesting sources of conflict there, you know, juicy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's small towns. I'm pretty familiar with small towns in this area, and it was fun to develop a small town and all the pleasures and trials of everybody knowing your business and everybody having your back at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it was a delight to be able to develop a contemporary series, because you have access to far more metaphors than you do when you're writing a historical, you know?
Right. The language, yes, it's more free, yes.
And I think it's just, and also because I like to write, I like to have stories that are driven by character, and certain things in your past will shape a character. A divorce, for instance,
or an abusive husband, or you know, just growing up in a hardscrabble town. And when you're writing Regencies, there are very distinct class divisions, and divorce just wasn't part of the equation. And so
right.
there's less latitude in terms of building a character that way. You know, if you're born a Duke,
correct,
they treat you a certain way. So
that is very true. Yes. That's true, yeah. And there's a lot more limitations.
That's true. And it's also, I can cut loose with, you know, I think it's true in my own voice. You know, my characters can swear, my characters, you know, have their own, you know, but it's then have characters who use Skype and Wikipedia and, you know, who give wedding toasts that go viral on YouTube. And it's just, it's been a blast. And
totally different.
Yes, very different. But I mean, if you know my voice, I think it's probably not that much of a stretch or my way of telling a story. But it really, it's been fun. It's really felt like I'm kicking out the jams, so to speak.
So is this a series that, I mean, do you have it planned for a certain number of books, or are you just going to let it see how it goes?
I think I'm just going to see how it evolves. I do have, I mean, there's infinite numbers of stories. I've already sort of set up little premises for, there could be any number of stories, but we'll see. It's all about me keeping it fresh and whether the readers are loving it and that kind of thing.
Well, you know, contemporary is like my passion. I don't know how I got so drawn into it, but I guess it's been the appropriate form of escape for me lately. I love historicals because I love history, but I think when you get to a certain age in your life and things are going by real quickly, like kids growing up and all that stuff, sometimes you just look for those. You identify quickly and can read the story and don't have to think about time and place and such as much. Like you're saying about writing,
find somebody that you can really relate to, maybe more directly too. You know, people who are having the same issues.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, have kids and siblings and stuff like that. People who feel more like you, I think, is part of it.
Yeah, it's become my, and I mean, just the regular contemporaries. I read them. And I enjoy them, but on a totally different level, like the motorcycle contemporary motorcycle clubs or the, you know, the billionaire ones. Because to me, that's like, that ain't gonna happen, and neither is that. But this guy that she met at a diner, you know, whatever, that makes more sense to me. So,
exactly. I mean, that's what the thing with romance is. Something for everybody. The big buffet out there.
It really is, and it's wonderful. And I love that it's kind of got its own little, like the subgenres have their own little, I don't know, subgenres of their own or something, you know, little group over here. Because I think it's cool. And, even paranormal has that same type of thing going. And paranormal was my gateway drug to romance. So,
I don't
knock it, but I just haven't read it in a long time. So,
and it's like I was talking on Twitter, somebody tweeted me, they belong to a couple of people, a guy belongs to an Amazon paranormal reading club, and somebody on their forum recommended the Pennyroyal Green series, and now they're all reading the Pennyroyal Green series. So it's like whatever the progression is, you know, you just
go with it.
The thing is,
the stages, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, at the stages you're going through, you know, what kind of hits home with you and what not, you know, I'm sure I'll be on to something else. So
I know, that's a guarantee right there. There you'll be on to something else, I think.
That's right. So you're working on contemporary, and it's probably, are you feeling like your readers have bought in and kind of taken that jump over with you? Or, because I know that's hard for sometimes when you change from writing, you know, one subgenre over to something else, that they kind of, loyal readers will jump with you.
Some of them did it automatically, and others took some coaching.
And I think it helped that the readers who did it automatically raved about it loved it.
Okay.
And so I made sure that because I know how it would feel. I didn't want anyone to feel left out, you know, and I wanted them to, and I know that there's a certain loyalty to the Everseas and Redmond families that I also feel. And so I was just like, please, you know, if you like my way of telling the story, these readers who love the Penny Royal Green series love this book too. So give it a shot. And so I think that a good portion of my readers automatically went over, and then some are, and others are just leaping in the fold. And I've been meeting new readers, which is kind of wonderful. That was kind of what I was hoping to happen too. People who've never read anything about me except for the contemporary. So we'll see how it goes. It's interesting.
Yeah, and a lot of readers will go back, you know, after they read something, they'll go, oh, look, they have this whole backlist. Let's go read it. And, you know, then you get, across it back over the other way.
Well, that's kind of what happened with me and Amanda Quick and Jane Ann Krentz. You know, like I started reading Amanda Quick books. My sister and I, my mom just sort of devoured them like candy, right? I'm like, oh, look, she's also Jane Ann Krentz. Wee! You know, it was fun to dive into deep.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, as much as having the other pen name actually, you know, I know why they do it, and, like, why Nora Roberts wrote as, you know, J.D. Robb, and I know why, but I think it actually kind of excites people, too, a little bit. I don't know. It's just they're like, they write under this name. It's like a secret, but not really. Everybody knows. So,
and everyone has a different reason for adopting a different name, and my publisher just thought it was best to continue using my name. So,
I think it works. Unless you're writing something that, you know, I have a friend who writes YA paranormal, and then she jumped over to writing adult contemporary. Well, I understand that. I understand using a different name because you don't want your young adult readers to walk over, pick up your adult contemporary paperback and find the throbbing manhood. Is it, you know,
there's that.
So, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but, you know, and then there's the whole thing about J.D. Robb and men selling the mysteries and thrillers better than women and blah, 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 but that's okay because romance drives the market and we're 99.9% women, so there you go.
That's true. And also, I think it's probable that there are more men reading, like, I know specifically, like, there's a guy who's a circuit court judge reads all my books because he just finds them an escape from his daily life, you know? And I think that is more, they don't want to confess to it, but you know how husbands and wives tend to trade books back and forth anyway, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
I think there are probably a lot of men out there reading romance. So, and enjoying it. Why wouldn't you enjoy a good story, period? You know? So.
Well, I think that
they might be the great frontier.
Right. Unfortunately, I think 50 Shades of Grey opened the door for a lot of that because it became mainstream where it was okay for guys to think that that was cool. But Outlander has done the hugest thing, the largest amount because that the series on Stars has attracted men to the books. Now they understand that romance isn't always just about hugs and kisses and sweetie and honey and gag me, that, you know, stuff that like,
yeah,
they've always been.
Exactly. I think they are little by little discovering that it's really just, you know, you're getting a good. I think that when I try to, if a guy asks me about romance, I think the book my gateway book, apart from Hot in Hellcat Canyon, might be Perils of Pleasure, because there's a lot of action, there's shooting, you know, there's a very strong hero, and the heroes they're worried that the heroes are like these perfect buff, no, they're flawed people that you can relate to, and, you know, they're actual, fully realized characters, and so I think, like you said, that they have this perception of the huggy-kissy, ideal buff guy, and that's off-putting to them, maybe.
Maybe I don't know. They're very flawed. I mean, I think that the best characters are flawed and have issues. Otherwise, how boring, you know? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Why?
I like my heroes.
I'll just look at pictures.
Well, exactly. That's dull. I mean, there are certain heroic behaviors that maybe men might feel intimidated by. Like, do you think that if you're reading about it, you expect that of them? I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Who would be that ridiculous?
No.
No, I explained to my husband that we like to read, we like happy endings because we've got to feel like there's hope out there in the world. It doesn't have to happen. It's just that there's got to be the hope out there for a happy ending, you know, and he's like, okay, I get that, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, I don't know, I think that we like to read, like you were saying, romance is an escape. It's, who wants to read about what's going on the television today? I mean, I don't want to read about it. I don't even like to get on Facebook and read about it. So,
no.
Much less.
I mean, you need an outlet.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know that every story, I don't think that every story I read needs a quote happy ending. It needs the right ending. I feel if someone writes a story and I feel like they went out of their way to not wrap it up neatly and happily because they wanted it to be perceived as something other than romantic or they think that, you know, but like, what's the one I think that has a perfect ending? Like Water for Elephants, I think has the perfect ending. I don't want to give it away if anyone's heard it, but it's one of those stories. It's a love story, not a romance per se, but it's definitely a love story. And it has just the most brilliant, wonderful, uplifting ending. And that's considered a literary book, you know?
Yeah.
But it really has to be right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it being a little bittersweet if it just feels appropriate to the story and the characters.
Yeah, and as long as it's not just, oh, here it is with a nice bow on top. Beep. Yeah, no.
Right,
no,
exactly.
Yeah.
So
with
romance.
Don't cheat your reader.
Yeah. Well, with romance, I want to give them a happy ending because that's what they're coming for, so.
Absolutely. And it's a requirement because, you know, if I'm going to spend my time on a book that is my escape, I don't want to be at the end going, oh, gosh, you know, like I was with Gone Girl, you know, if it wasn't on my channel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would have broke that thing into pieces.
I'm not. Yeah, I love that book, but I'm just that ending. I'm like, how would I write that ending? Because I'm not.
No,
I
know.
What's that?
Yeah, no. She totally disappointed me in that one. I was like, he is such a. Oh gosh. Anyway. Yeah, that was a bad one. So, what do you have? What you've got? The second one in the Hellcat. Canyon series coming out in December?
Yes, beginning of December. Or actually end of November. So it's considered a December book.
Okay. And let's see. Okay, good. And do you have any other plan? You don't have any other planned releases for this year?
Do I have any other ones? Sorry, didn't hear you clearly.
Do you have any other planned releases for the rest of 2016?
No, that's it. I'm working on
okay.
the next books in the Hellcat Canyon series. So I had two releases this year, two contemporaries out this year, and I'll have two next year probably. At least
awesome.
Two. And if people want to, but there are readers who have expressed interest in novellas and Pennyroyal Green novellas, and if I have the time, there are some that I'm developing. So if readers want to keep apprised of that, they can follow me on Facebook, and I'll make sure that they hear about it.
So it's not gone yet. Pennyroyal's not gone yet.
no, it's... I think that I that story, but I left it in such a way that the characters definitely live on in the contemporary world, and there are other stories hinted at that I have
almost fully realized in my head. It's all a matter of time. What I think is the best use of my time, what my readers want to read, you know. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we never want to let characters go. We just can't let them go. With you, a good character is too hard to let go.
Well, they're out there, but it's not. It's a place, and where that has, and there's the stories. The series itself was sort of panoramic in that it spanned characters and generations and different places.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how it stretches into the future. And I had a little fun with how aspects of the Redmond family, for instance, grew into a famous travels and navigation company in the
awesome.
Present day. So it's stuff like that. It's when you're a research in history and that you see the origins of things. So that was fun for me to do that too. To progress it that way.
Well, that's neat. That's very neat. Well, good luck to your with your new release and for the upcoming ones that you're working on, because it's a busy time. You're getting into your busy time of year with everybody's running around like crazy, but where was I? Oh, okay. So let's talk about real quick. Let's tell everybody where we. I've lost my train of thought for a second. Let's talk about where we can find you on social media and your website. Do you have a newsletter where they can sign up on your website?
Sure. You want me to just? I'm at www.julianlong.com, and that's Anne with an E. So JulianLong.com. My website, and you can find me on Facebook at author Julianne Long, and I'm at Twitter at Julianne Long.
Okay.
A theme
that's easy.
So those are the best ways to keep in touch. Facebook is probably the most immediate. You know, when I have news,
okay.
It just starts there.
Go there. Okay, good. It's funny how everybody has their own preference for social media. So many authors are like, oh, I'm only on Instagram, or I have a Facebook page, but I don't really put anything on there, or I never tweet, or I only tweet. Like, okay.
Facebook, I can be a little more verbose. And I always feel like on Twitter, it has to be in real time in a way. And I feel like it's rude if I just tweet something and then I walk away. Like,
right. That's how I feel.
You know? So Facebook is like, we can keep the conversation going at a more leisurely pace.
Yeah, no, I'm a Facebook junkie too. I tweet, but I still don't get it. I'm like, I tweet, but I don't get it. Whatever. Instagram, I love. Especially looking at Colin O'Donohue or what is his name from Once Upon a Time? Oh my gosh. I love looking at his Instagram. Anyway.
I know. People have been persuading me to go ahead towards Instagram, and I might just do that. So.
Yeah, I love it because, you know, you follow certain celebrities, you get a little peek in their lives. It's like, ooh, look, they're showing personal pictures. How cool is this? I'm like a total dork. But that's okay. Anyway. Well,
I think
so
my Instagram page would be nothing but cat photos.
So go ahead. I mean, I just post stuff about books and reading and then, you know, my shows and stuff like that, but and reviews and stuff. But, yeah, no, they post pictures of themselves, and it's awesome. It's like, hey, J.J. Watt with no shirt again. This is great inspiration for everyone.
All right, I'll keep that in mind for sure.
Yeah, so come on board. Anyway, well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me and be on the show. And like I said, much luck to you to the second one in the series, and I'm excited for you on that because I know it's fun to change, and that'll be I hope it's very successful for you.
Hello?
Did you hear me?
You cut out a
little
bit.
Hello? Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I said I much like to you. Thanks for being on the show and for spending some time talking to me today. And much like with your second in the series. And I hope that it's all very successful because I know it's fun to switch genres like that. So.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's fun to talk to you. And thank you for inviting me. Were we going to give away a book?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's see. I totally forgot. Let's see. What would you say is your favorite? Well, you're a musician. So what is your favorite all-time song?
My favorite all-time song? You're asking me to choose one song? Oh, my God.
Well, I'm telling you mine. Mine is Pride and Joy by Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's just the best song ever.
I like so many. It's easier for me to say favorite all-time band. I'd have to say Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
So, because I love everything they do. I feel like they're a world of music inside one band. And they're all like, they're full on sexy and visceral. And so it could be cute, gorgeous, or noisy. They're just perfect. So that is it.
There you go.
There's no way I can choose a single song.
We'll do band then. So,
all right.
So if you want to win a copy, tell them what they have to do.
If they want to win a copy, tell me your favorite Led Zeppelin song.
Okay, there you go. You want to offer your Facebook?
What's that?
You want to do it? Tell them your favorite Led Zeppelin song on your Facebook page.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that.
Okay, and then you can pick a winner from there.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay.
That'd be different.
Awesome. Okay. Well, again, thanks so much for being on. I appreciate it, and it was a lot of fun. And good luck to you. And it sounds to me like you listen to great music while you write. So there you go. Just rock on. All right. Take care.
You too.
And thanks, everybody, for listening in tonight. You can find me on Facebook at The Librarian on Authors on the Air, and I'm on Twitter at @HOT_librarian_. This broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on the Air website, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Look for us anywhere you can think of in the social media universe. That Authors on the Air is probably there. And thanks to Authors on the Air for letting me share my passion for romance. And sharing the hottest authors and young adult, new adult, and adult romance with all of you. Thanks for listening in, and I'll see you guys next Thursday right here on The Library in Sweet Dreams.